Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today, we are talking Wall Street investor Mike Novogratz, U.S. Congressman talks crap about crypto, and Stellar. That's right. And then finally, in our main topic, we're discussing XRP is dead. That's right. No FUD here, just truth. Thriller Podcast, starting now. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Podcast. Today is July 19th. First up, we have Wall Street executive Mike Novogratz. He's a crypto blockchain enthusiast, and he predicts mass adoption in 5 to 6 years. So he says, you won't see mass adoption until the user experience does not feel like something new and that is still 5 to 6 years away. He further explained that one of the major obstacles in the way is a widespread adoption in the increasing cost of technical talent. Okay, I guess he's talking to all you devs out there. Think about how institutional investors operate. It's hard to tell your boss, I have money in places you have never heard of. You need a trusted name custodian, a bank, Goldman Sachs, to allow institutional investors to feel comfortable. They don't want to go to Binance. Novogratz claimed that while financial regulators are mainly concentrated on professional institutions like JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs, the industry is mostly based on retail investors. He further suggested that regulators should be more focused on the retail sector instead of large professional institutions. Interesting, Mr. Novogratz. Next up, we have U.S. Congressman. He stands against cryptos because he's an idiot. I added that last part. So he is requesting a full ban on crypto mining and trading for U.S. citizens. Yes, that's right. Brad Sherman, a U.S. congressman, knew for some of the more controversial statements regarding cryptocurrencies. He just requested a full ban on it. It's ridiculous. He says, it's a solution only to the problems of tax evaders, criminals, and terrorists. Oh my God. Then he further goes on to say that implementing such systems would mean a complete overhaul of how transactions work. No one wants to do it. Well, you don't have to worry about that. We're going to do it ourselves, this younger generation. Next up, we have some good news. Stellar is up 30%. That's right. It's reaching a two-month high. So today it eclipsed 31 cents. And I think it's hovering right around 29 cents right now. It's pretty amazing that all the great news that came out this week regarding the stablecoin, and then just here yesterday, they announced Islamic Advisory Firm. They received a certification. So basically, the open source value exchange Stellar has received certification for both its platform and associated cryptocurrency, Lumens XLM, from the Sharia Review Bureau, an Islamic advisory firm based in Bahrain. So what does that mean? That means that companies that facilitate remittances, including the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain, is a huge market, and they will start using Stellar's blockchain and associated cryptocurrency, Lumens. Yeah, it's pretty big news because this is one of the first digital currencies among the Islamic communities. So way to go, Stellar Protocol. Way to go, Stellar Network. I love it. And then finally, this is some really good news that I heard today. I was so happy. Silk Road founder Ross Ulbricht, he finally has a voice. And that means he's on Twitter. That's right. So for the very first time, he has his own Twitter handle, Real Ross U, and he is sending out messages, and somebody is on the other side reading those messages and posting on Twitter for him. So his first tweet was pretty cool. He says, Hi, everyone. This is Ross. You know, I am the real Ross Albrick because a copy of this note is at freeross.org/Twitter note. This is my first time on Twitter, so I'm not sure yet what I'll be tweeting about. I guess we'll figure it out together. It's coming up on 5 years that I've been in prison, though, so I'm hoping this will help me feel more connected to the outside. Thank you for following me and for all your support in my struggle for freedom. Sincerely, Ross. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Currently, right now, he is trying to get his sentence reduced. If you guys are looking into helping him out, go over to Thriller Podcast's Twitter. You can just type in Ross Albrecht, Free Ross Albrecht. Just go there and there's a petition you can sign up. I've already shared it on Twitter. I shared it on all the social networks and would like to see everybody that's a part of the Thriller Army go out there and sign this petition. Because at the end of the day, he literally is spending the rest of his life in jail just because he created a website. He didn't have anything to do. I know there's a lot of FUD out there that say that he had a lot to do with what was going on. He didn't. Even if he did, he didn't. He wasn't complicit in it. He knew of it. But a lot of other people that got indicted along with him served fewer sentences, you know, like 10, 15, 20 years. That's it. He's spending his whole life, and that's just not fair for creating a website. And the U.S. government knows this very well, and they're just trying to set an example on him, and it's just not right. Because I think if he was out here right now, he'd be actually doing a lot of good for society. And who knows what type of decentralized kind of place that he would make out there. So hopefully one day we can see him out. And I know for a fact that if he does come out, that we will have him on Thriller Podcast. That's for sure. That's coming straight from his mom. She promised us. So you guys go out there, go to freeross.org and sign up and sign that petition and do whatever you can to help them out. I really appreciate it. And I think that's it for news. Kind of a short news cycle today, but it's been such a crazy crypto week. You know what? Let's get into our interesting video of the day. I think I got a really good one for you. You're going to be very surprised.
Thriller Podcast. Interesting crypto video of the day.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, today's interesting video is a good one. It's from Barry Silbert. He is the CEO of DCG, Digital Currency Group, and they own the gamut. Barry got into Bitcoin at $10 at that time. So, yeah, he's pretty crypto rich. I will say that it's interesting to see him go out in public and talk about things now. I know he's on Twitter always speaking about things, but it's really interesting to hear him in public. And today he's talking about Mana. That's right. Decentraland. Check this out.
Has anybody heard of Decentraland? All right, we got one per...
Oh, there's somebody over here.
Okay, great. So in the DLD highlight reels in 5 years, when this is huge, Steffi can say you heard about it here first. Okay, so Decentraland is a decentralized metaverse. So anybody who has read Snow Crash or Ready Player One, saw the movie, or remember Second Life, which is still around, Decentraland is a decentralized version of that. The difference being the world is finite in size. It's the size of Washington, D.C. right now, and it has an in-world cryptocurrency called Mana. And that Mana is finite in supply as well.
And it's used VR as the way you navigate it.
Yeah, so when this world launches later this year, you'll be able to navigate it via both actually web and VR. And so it's kind of crypto plus VR, you know, Second Life. And you know, the reason why I'm so excited about it is because I fundamentally believe that the virtual world, the metaverse, is going to exist in the future. You know, the world that was envisioned in Snow Crash or Ready Player One is going to happen. People spend a lot of time, you know, doing games, playing games, getting involved in these immersive type experiences. But I do believe that if there is going to be a world, that world cannot be owned by one company. It cannot be owned by Facebook. It cannot be owned by Google. And so having a decentralized world that can serve as a platform on which these experiences could be built, I think is incredibly exciting. And based on the conversations that we've had over the past 6 months since we first got involved, I think that this may be the killer app for both VR and crypto.
Okay, well, explain both those last things in more detail, because and also maybe that's connected to why one company shouldn't own it, because I'm not exactly sure what it is that one company shouldn't own and that this will instead be. So explain right. that.
Well, so I think the risk of a company owning the metaverse. So do you want to say
the metaverse? So you think this will be the metaverse?
Yes.
In some sense.
Yeah. So if everybody, assuming everybody understands what the metaverse is,
why don't you describe it in as few words as possible?
Virtual world. It is a virtual world that is all basically. It exists virtually, but its experiences and its design, may look a lot like New York City or the world, or it might not. And that's also what's so exciting about it.
And VR will allow us to really experience it in full, depth of field, and not like we did Second Life to the degree we experienced that.
Exactly. And so what's happened over the past 6 months is there's 90,000 parcels of land that were created. Each parcel of land is 10 by 10 meters. Two parcels is the size of a tennis court. And so if you kind of go, you'll find this online. You can find a map. Of the 90,000 parcels, 60,000 about have been sold, for as high as $60,000 right at the center. So the expectation is when you enter this world, you're going to drop into the middle. And so people have been speculating that right around the center is going to be the Fifth Avenue of the metaverse. And so I've had a lot of conversations now with content creators, with movie studios, with gaming companies, and what I've come to appreciate is if the metaverse becomes a thing, if VR becomes a thing, when you want to go discover experiences, you're not going to go to Google and type in "show me the cool VR experiences." You're going to put on your goggles and you're going to drop into the world and you're going to bump into things.
So it becomes a search engine for VR in a sense.
Search engine and platform. Yeah.
Okay, but go back to why it's the killer app for both VR. That's sort of the killer app for VR answer. But what about the killer app for crypto?
Well, the other reason why it's also a potential killer app for VR is because it creates a monetization opportunity for both hardware developers as well as VR content creators. Because you could theoretically charge people to go experience whatever it is you're building in Decentraland. So right now, there's a casino district. There's a university district. There's a fashion district.
This isn't operative yet, by the way, despite all these things being there.
Yeah.
Right? It's still in development mode, and nobody's even interacting in there until when? December?
This year is when they're going to... right now, people are building experiences, but you'll be able to drop in at the end of the world. So the reason... at the end of the year.
Well... at least there'll be an alternative.
Yes. So the reason why I think it might be a killer app for VR is because it creates a way to monetize the hardware and the software. So if you think about, let's think about a Samsung or an Oculus, they could potentially give away these goggles for free and monetize it either through being owners of mana or owners of land or creators of experiences within these worlds. So that's kind of interesting. I think on the crypto side, the reason why it might be a killer app is because, it's fun. Like, so much of what's happened in the crypto space over the past 8 years has been about kind of making money. This is fun. Like, I'm really, the reaction that I'm getting from people to this reminds me of the early days of Bitcoin in 2011 when I started getting excited about it. So I think that it creates real utility for a digital form of money beyond just speculation.
But the only way you'll be able to spend money in it is to use mana, which is one of the reasons you're loading up on that now. But in other words, it sort of forces you to use crypto, but also crypto is a very useful tool to make it work, in effect.
So you appreciate the Facebook effect. So if you think about kind of the network effect, one of the reasons why I think Bitcoin took off the way it did is because essentially there was network effects of money. Well, with Decentraland, people who own the land, people who own the mana, they can't shut up about it. I can't shut up about it. And so you have this situation where you have the 1 + 1, I believe, equals 5.
Okay. We've got to wrap because it went to zero unexpectedly, but what... If anybody in here wants to pursue it further, is there anything they can do now, or do they have to wait till the end of the year, or what?
So I would start off by saying, don't put more money into it than you can afford to lose, because it's more likely going to zero than it is going up. I would say.
I mean, Mana. I mean, Crypt in Decentraland, or which is going to be renamed, by the way. Yeah. But that's what you don't put money in, because that's going to go to zero.
Wait. For all the crypto stuff.
All the crypto. Be careful.
Yes, okay. My big flashing.
Talk while you're standing up, because we have to go. But, but I meant particularly the last thing, you know. This Decentraland, which is going to be renamed, but you made it sound so cool, people can't stop talking about it, but is there any way these people could get involved now?
Yes, there's an active community. There's Twitter to follow. There's a website to go to. Sign up. You'll see it's very easy to engage and learn about what's happening and get involved.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool how he went on there and talked about Mana, pretty much. He also mentioned Zencash and Zcash and a couple other things. And of course, BAT. But yeah, this is the same company that we've researched here in the past. This is how we knew that BAT was going to get on there. I would say it's pretty obvious that Mana eventually will make its way onto Coinbase Pro at some point as an ERC-20 token. So look out for that. I think as this Decentraland grows, it'll definitely show up on there for sure. And also, it's kind of weird because we actually got into Decentraland last year around November when they were releasing their whole real estate stuff inside of the virtual reality space that they're going to be launching here pretty soon. I think we got in at 3 or 4 cents and then we tanked out at 11 cents. It's funny, like from this point last year, it's still at around 10, 11 cents. So you're getting in at where it kind of topped out, which is not that bad. But a lot of us made some cash, some coin on that. So pretty cool. It's pretty cool seeing them just keep going. It's really nice actually having DCG back you. That just gives you automatically all the pretty much the green light for everything. Pretty cool. With that, let's get into coin talk. I know there's a lot to discuss. A lot to discuss. Let's do it.
It is time. Only crypto, coins, trades, predictions ahead. It is what you spend all day wondering. Isn't it? This crypto dream. Only on Coin Talk. Coin Talk. Coin Talk.
Coin Talk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into Coin Talk, just got a couple things want to announce. So we've been doing some kind of updates and stuff to thrillercrypto.com and thrillerpodcast.club. I got an email today from somebody saying, hey, what's going on with the website? Why do you keep changing stuff? It's because we're like trying to, we're moving in a new direction for season two. And I don't mean like a crazy new direction. It's more like you have a Titanic ship, right? And you see a rock coming. But instead of trying to aim for the rock, you move a little bit to the right. You might still hit the rock, but for the most part, you're trying not to, you know, damage the hull, right? So, no, I'm just kidding. No, seriously. So we're just making a couple of changes. You know, one of the things that I'm a big believer in is taking advice, especially when it's good advice. And some of that advice comes from y'all, you know. And, you know, this week, you know, there's been a couple people that have said, hey, you should do this, you should do this, or you should do this. And I take your advice. Like, I really do. Like, I implement things on the website, or I change this or change that. It's because it's something that I'm not seeing. Like, my mind is solely focused on the podcast most of the time and in the website and everything else that I miss things or I don't see anything. So I need y'all to be my rearview mirrors and my side mirrors. Is that what they're called? Side mirrors? My blind spots, you know, and let me know what I could do to improve the show or what I could do to improve the website or even our community. But I listen to y'all, and that's why I made a couple changes. So we added a dark theme into thrillercrypto.com. So if you go there now, there's a dark button that you can hit. And that was Zamped gave us the idea for that. So thanks. Thank you, Zamped. Also, we've been kind of doing this whole slogan, birth, crypto, death. And I was talking to Matthew this week and he was like, you should name it death, crypto, birth. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a lot better. Why didn't I think of that? So we went ahead and made that little change, just a little small stuff here and there. And another one that we've been kind of struggling with was the one that Steven gave us. And Steven had told us, hey, you should change your podcast to Thriller Crypto instead of Thriller Podcast because no one can find it. And for the longest time, I was like, man, I don't want to change. And then I have to change everything, you know. But then I started realizing, I was like, you know what? He's obviously seen, he has a good reason to tell me this, you know, because he wouldn't have just told me just to tell me. So what I did is I went ahead and changed it on the podcast, like on iTunes. So it's going to say like Thriller Crypto instead of Thriller Podcast, but that's just so we rank better. A lot of people can't find us because they're not searching for podcasts. They're not typing in podcasts or typing in, you know, crypto. And it's kind of good in a way because we kind of get people that that probably don't belong with the Thriller Army. Like we get rid of those people and we take on people of quality, I like to think. So it's kind of good. But now we're opening it up because we are getting bigger. So now we're just going to be, if you search for it in Google Play or anything like that, iTunes, it's going to say Thriller Crypto. So just search for Thriller Crypto and then it'll show up. This way, whenever people are trying to search for cryptocurrency podcasts, they'll find us right away. And then also a thing that y'all can do as well, leave an iTunes review or a Google Play review or any kind of review. Like I know you're driving right now and you can't really do it, but if you get like 5 minutes, like that means like probably the world to me. Like out of everything that y'all do, I think that means probably the world to me because the stuff that's posted on iTunes and Google Play and stuff, like that's something for everybody to see. So it just means a lot, especially when you like give me a shout out in it or request a coin, you know, for me to look up or something like that. That just like, it just really makes my day. It's like the equivalent of y'all leaving iTunes reviews is like me. It's like seeing like, you know, Stellar spike up this week. It's like seeing my crypto go from like 10 cents to like 30 cents on a particular coin or something that I'm like betting on or whatever. But yeah, like it really does. So if you guys could contribute with that, you know, that would mean the most before like donations or before being a patron or anything, is just leaving an iTunes review or a Google Play review or any type of review or just telling a friend, because that means the world. So anyways, just want to tell you that we made a couple changes. You might see a little bit more on YouTube. Oh, so there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast on YouTube as well. Right now, we're kind of in a phase to where the people that we're using to transfer over our podcast to a YouTube video, they are ranking up their prices like a lot. So I'm like, dang, man, there's so much good crypto to buy these days. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of hold off on putting our podcast on YouTube, but it's not because I don't want to. I really would. It's just that they're charging an outrageous price now. So I have to have to manage the money for the show because we're already pretty high, but this way we'll get on YouTube, and this just forces me to actually make YouTube videos, you know, so which is good because I need to do more of them. But yeah, so if you're listening to this on YouTube or if you're listening to this anywhere else, just realize that eventually we're going to get our podcast on there. So sorry for right now. We'll make that happen at some point later this year. And I think that's all of it. I want to welcome a couple of new people that we saw here in the Telegram show up this week. Welcome. You have joined a really good podcast. We don't chill here. We don't pump here. We just predict. And most of the time, we're 100% wrong. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're pretty right, actually. I like to think we're right. Because I think one of those things, like one of the things that I really like the most about us is that we call it like it is. Like if it's not happening on a crypto and we're still holding it, we're gonna how they say it? Pinch it right in the butt. We're gonna pinch it right in the butt. And we're just gonna say, you know what? This isn't happening. And these are the reasons why. And that's kind of what our main topic is about today. It's very disappointing, but it's kind of one of those where you got to look in the mirror. You got to be honest with yourself. And I believe we're being honest with ourselves today in the main topic. So hopefully we don't lose any people because we have such a big statement. But anyways, with that, let's get into our disclaimer. That's right. We gotta roll this because this crazy congressman will come after us. Or, you know, the SEC will come after us, or the CFTC will come after us. Yeah, because we gotta let everybody know that we have a disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. It's currently 9 p.m. here, Central Standard Time. So this is what the coin market cap looks like right now. Got Bitcoin at $7,465. Not too bad, not too bad. I think we started off the week at what, 63, 64, somewhere around there, 62. Nice $1,000 gain. Got Ethereum at 465. So it got above 500, then people sold off, unfortunately. We got Bitcoin Cash at 817. We got EOS at $8.27. Stellar keeps on rising. It's at 30 cents. I want to say something about Stellar real quick, because a lot of people are probably wondering, like, what are my predictions on it? So I think Stellar is going to get at around 40 cents. And I say this because, you know, 40 cents would double everybody's amount here at a buy-in at 20 cents when it started pumping. I think it's safe to say that once it gets to 40 cents, you're going to see a sell-off pretty significantly. And there's going to be a lot of people making money at 40 cents. I'm still kind of debating whether I'm going to do the same. I'm a firm believer that by the time it gets to Coinbase and actually gets on Coinbase, it'll be at a dollar. That's most definitely. If it shows up on Coinbase, by the way. But yeah, a dollar seems likely, maybe even 90 cents, a dollar. Now, I want to kind of explain something, because a lot of you haven't been in this space that long, so you don't remember some of these things. So this is for you guys. So last year, I want to say around March, I don't remember exactly when it was, but around March, early March, I want to say, people started finding out that Litecoin was going to show up on Coinbase. And in fact, it did. It showed up at Coinbase on May 3rd. And that was when the pump happened. So it's pretty incredible that it literally went from being added on Coinbase. It literally went from, if you look at the time when people started speculating that it was going to go on Coinbase. And that was, I want to say it was around March. I don't remember exactly. So don't quote me on this. But it was literally at $3. It was literally at $3. It hung around $3, $4. That was all Litecoin ever really did. Just hung around there, right? I mean, it would go up higher than that, but for the most part, it'd be at $3 or $4. Once word started happening, it started pumping. And sure enough, it got to $8, $9, $10, $13. And by the time it landed on Coinbase, it was at $15, roughly. And then a massive surge, and it took it all the way to $30. $30. Yeah, that's right. Took it to $30, and then it sold off. And you're probably wondering, like, why $30? Like, why $32, $31? Why is that? Well, it's because a lot of people bought in at $3, $3.83 once they found out, you know, Litecoin. Because that's the thing about this crypto space. A lot of people, if you know the right people inside this space, you get free tips. And I'm not saying that I'm getting these free tips, which I have in the past. Sometimes they're wrong, but most of the time they're pretty right on for the most part. The bat one, and that one was like a free tip. But what's interesting is that if you look at it, it got people bought in at $3. So if you look at Stellar, people bought in at 20 cents. I would love to see it. But if Stellar continues to go at this price spike, I don't think Stellar will get that high. I just don't think it will. The only reason I say that is because that would be a significant gain in a short amount of time. But it literally went from $15 announced on Coinbase all the way to $30 in a matter of 7 days. Yeah, that's how big this can be. I'm just letting you know how big this can be. And then mind you, Litecoin was at $3, $3.40, $4 around there last year around March, when rumors started speculating. But after that happened, after, you know, those first 7 days passed, it crashed. It crashed all the way back down to, was it 24? I want to say it was 24, somewhere around there. 24, 25. I don't remember exactly. And then around June, it spiked up again to $50. And that's pretty much where it hung around. And then it stayed there for the most part. And then we all know what happened later in the year. So if I was a betting man, I would say that if Stellar happens to get on Coinbase, I would, to be fair and to be, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm like shilling stuff or doing anything like that. I would say, to be fair, it would get to $1 easy. That's safe to say. And then after that, I don't know. I don't want to give you a number because I don't want to get people's hopes up too high, but I'll say you're going to get $1 for sure on Coinbase day one, almost definitely. It's going to be interesting to see how this rolls out because a lot of people understand the actual value of holding XLM now. Like they've made so many partnerships. People have probably already done the research on it. I know a lot of people have thanked me for doing the podcast on Monday for doing about Stellar because there's some things that people just didn't know about. And there's a lot more we still need to cover about it. But I mean, potentials is pretty high. It's pretty high because in 1 year, literally 1 year, Litecoin went from $3 all the way close to, almost really touched $300. Actually, it did touch $300 in January. So it went from $3 to $300, 100x. And what was that? I don't know, maybe like 7 months. Pretty crazy, right? Yeah, it can be. It can be very crazy. That's why I'm telling you, just make sure if you're holding enough coin, make sure you're holding enough. I mean, you want to hold enough more than you can lose. I mean, you don't want to lose it all, but just in case. And that's another thing too. If it doesn't get on Coinbase, then you're going to see something else and that's going to be a dramatic fall. So get ready to sell too there as well. This is all just crypto tips. That's all I'm providing. But yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that. That's kind of my thoughts on it. Because I'm looking at it like Coinbase. I'm not looking at it like how everybody else is looking at it. And that's like, you know, $200 or 100 people are saying, I'm hearing some ridiculous things. Because I'm keeping it tempered, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, look at history. What has history told us? Litecoin's a perfect example of what happened. Ethereum Classic. That was a question that we got on Twitter. It's kind of one of those where I'm surprised it's not going a little higher, but it's kind of one of those things where Ethereum Classic, kind of all these other five coins stole its thunder. I think if Coinbase would have just waited till after they released, you know, Ethereum Classic to then talk about, you know, adding more five coins, because people would have found out eventually, but until they would have confirmed it, they could have waited till Ethereum Classic actually got on there and then it would have severely pumped. You would see Ethereum Classic go a little higher, but now that people, because you gotta understand, like a lot of people are still retail investors in this space like us, and we have all our baskets somewhere else. So you gotta look at it like that. I still have some Ethereum Classic, but I think it'll get to $30 first day on Coinbase for real. I think so. And I think we'll see that here around August. Somebody sent me an email telling me it was August 16th. Take that for what that is. I don't know. Was it August 16th? Let me see. I know he said it was like the first Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, 17th. I'm sorry. No, 16th. He said 16th. No, I think it was the 14th. I don't know. It was one of those days. One of those days. It was in the teens. One of those Tuesdays. But to take that for what that's worth, though. You can never really trust some of these tips that you get, you know, randomly. I get so many stuff in my email that it's just kind of ridiculous at this point. A lot of it not so good. A lot of it's just ICOs trying to get on the show, and we know we're not going to have them on. sorry. But another thing too, I also want to mention Cardano. So Cardano is another one. It's currently at 17 cents right now. It's gonna get pretty crazy here pretty soon. Cardano will likely pass Litecoin this weekend. It's gonna get pretty high. And if you remember last year, Cardano got higher than Stellar, really high. I think what we're seeing now, we're seeing 0x kind of die off. We're seeing BAT kind of die off. We're seeing Zcash kind of die off. And we're seeing Cardano pump. We're seeing Stellar pump. It's because those are projects that people know and trust, right? Because of their founders as well. And it's just they're just great blockchain projects. A lot of people are finally finding that out, which is kind of amazing to me. They're just barely finding out that Stellar is actually a really good blockchain project, and so is Cardano. But if this continues, I think that's kind of a sign. This is my logic, my thinking. Do not believe it. That you know, there's some insider stuff going on there that people know that which ones are probably going to likely show up. So they're betting the farm. And just remember, guys, in this whole kind of FOMO rush that we're in right now, because it's all FOMO right now. Those are all FOMO prices that you're seeing, Stellar and Cardano. Those are all FOMO. You know, so just be careful. Don't bet the farm on something that you know isn't fact yet. There's still time. You still have time, because once it gets to 40 cents, once Cardano gets to about 25 cents, 24 cents, it's going to fall just like Stellar app once it gets to 40 cents. So just remember that. Don't get too crazy. Don't get too much in a panic. There's still room to buy. As long as you beat it before it gets on Coinbase or before the announcement, you'll be fine. You're still going to see some gains. Maybe not the 100x you're hoping for, but it'll still be some gains. But yeah. Yeah. I think that's it for Coin Talk. I wanted to get a lot more in, but I think that covers all the bases. With that, let's get into our main topic. Today we're covering XRP. Is it dead? I will say right now, none of this is financial advice. This is not FUD or me trying to pump another coin. Not trying to sway you or convince you of anything. If you're invested in XRP, good for you. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. All right, I think that's it. I guess now we can begin. So today we are talking XRP is dead. And I promise this is not some kind of FUD campaign for Ripple or XRP. And I promise this is not me trying to just get people to sell their XRP. I promise you that. The reason I wanted to do this episode is because I wanted to make sure that I got this out to as many people as I could while it's still early. From all the research that I've done, it seems to me that XRP is going to be labeled a security. And when that happens, the amount, the price of XRP is gonna plummet. Check out this Ask Me Anything with David Schwartz, where he talks about decentralization.
I think a lot of people in the cryptocurrency community understand why that's important, like for these emerging use cases, but I don't know that they completely get why it matters, like for everything else, for like where the value is today. I've had people tell me like, well, banks don't care if something's decentralized. Right. They trust each other, don't they? Well, not only do they not really trust each other, but imagine if you're trying to build onto that ecosystem, if you're trying to plug in, if you're trying to connect, if you're trying to compete. If you're trying to compete with a company that spent billions of dollars on its liquidity solution, are you going to want to spend billions of dollars? And the other problem is that things that are based on trust don't really scale. You can't build 1,000 relationships based on trust very easily, whereas if you have a system that doesn't require trust, you can interoperate with everybody just by like firing up your own instance. That's a tremendous difference in the amount of effort and time and money that it takes to build.
It's obvious to me that David Schwartz understands how decentralization works because he's a chief cryptographer. Now he's the CTO of Ripple. It's interesting that he fails to mention that Ripple is very centralized. One of the many reasons why people believe Ripple is such a great company and believe XRP is a decentralized coin is because of something called a unique node list. But before we even get to that, I need to explain a couple things. Ripple protocol components, you know, comprise of a server, which everybody should know. A ledger is a record of an amount of a currency in each user's account. A last closed ledger is the most recent ledger that has been ratified by the consensus process. And an open ledger is a current operating status of a node. So the unique node list is each server. So it maintains its own node list, which is a set of other servers when determining consensus. Now, only the votes of the other members are considered when determining consensus. And that's the problem right there. That's the problem that people aren't seeing is when you have a node list like this and only other members that are already a part of nodes vote on who becomes a node, that creates a centralized network. And unlike some other protocols out there where anybody can become a part of this node list, you have to be voted in. And guess who owns most of the nodes? That's right, Ripple, the company. This is why people say Ripple is XRP. XRP is Ripple. Do you get it? Next up, I'm going to play another clip from Ashish Birla. He is the SVP of product at Ripple, and he talks about the falling of Western Union.
So, you know, the other question was around, you know, Western Union. You know, I think like the thing with Western Union is that there's such a massive company that's been around for longer than most payment companies out there. really for Western Union to take advantage of XRapid, they would have to move all their volume over to something like XRapid because they already have fixed costs and optimized, you know, liquidity flows. And so, you know, right now we're reoriented our target customer on upstarts, payment providers. That's, I think, our sweet spot. And that's what we're looking to bring into production as soon as possible.
Like, if you want to compete with Western Union, do you build out a system like that? That's awfully expensive. It's nice that you can bring the barrier down by having access to liquidity that you don't have to spend billions of dollars building.
Absolutely. And that infrastructure is what we're hoping to overlay with XRapid and the rest of our products.
And that's the biggest problem right there. Ripple is a company, and they're trying to get other people on board. Other people on board don't want to use them because why? It benefits Ripple, the company. Overall, what I'm saying is Ripple as a company is very much alive. They have outstanding tech. They have really great people on board. I think David Schwartz is a very smart man. I think he understands how all this works. And I think he knows it in his heart what exactly is going to happen. Now, let's move over to why XRP is a security. So something that never came to light was back in April when Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC Chairman Gary Gensler stated in a speech at MIT's Business of Blockchain conference that XRP was likely a security. He said, and I quote, "There is a strong case for both of them, Ethereum and Ripple, but particularly Ripple, that they are non-compliant securities." Now, Ripple heard this and they denied that XRP is a security or could be classified as one. And of course, they are currently getting sued right now by three different people because of this. But what's the actual death knell? Is the CFTC chairman saying it might be, or, and I quote, "they are non-compliant security." Now, one other interesting tidbit about XRP is that Ariana Simpson, she is a prominent investor and she runs the investment fund for Autonomous Partners. She recently says, and I quote, "it's still up in the air if people want to do a number of things on the blockchain. We're still figuring out what needs one and what doesn't. But it's clear they want to trade and they want to play games." She also went on to say that Ripple's XRP hasn't made the cut for the new fund. This is due to the concerns about the level of XRP's centralization and the possibility that the United States Securities and Exchange Commission will treat the digital asset as a security. She also references Gary Gensler and that he saw, quotations, "strong case for the securities designation of XRP." When it comes to something like this, you have to listen, especially when it's coming from a person who runs their own investment fund, and a pretty big investment fund at that. I think if the SEC and the CFTC never got involved with cryptocurrency this year, I think Ripple would have been fine. XRP would have been just fine. It would have saw huge growth, but that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. They did get involved. They are watching and they want to make a statement. Which leads me to believe that they are gonna list XRP as a security. I think the only thing that could literally change this at this point is for Ripple to create a nonprofit of some sort and donate the vast majority of XRP that they hold currently to that nonprofit. I think that is the only way this works out for XRP. I think if it is labeled a cryptocurrency, I think that's a tell that there's some backdoor dealings going on with the United States government, the SEC and the CFTC, which I don't think will happen. Anatoly Costella, the CEO of Lippis Investments, made some crazy claims today. He stated that these digital fiats exist in a state of regulatory limbo, particularly Ripple. Maintaining local accounts is a huge pain point for financial institutions. If you want to work with those financial institutions, you have to provide a product that can comply with local regulation and compliance information, Costella said. He also stated that if the SEC categorizes Ripple as a security, we will experience in the short term a big dip in its market value. In the long term, it will simply become a digital asset owned by institutional investors. And that is one of the biggest things that came out here recently. If people are already looking at what Ripple the company is and looking at XRP, the so-called cryptocurrency is, there's going to be a lot of people in for a world of hurt if this is labeled a security. It could be on the scale of what happened to BitConnect when it crashed to the ground. If you remember back then, it was around $350 per coin, and it crashed down to $3, $4, $5, $6 at the time. I think if this were to happen again, we could see Ripple go from 50, 55 cents all the way back down to 1/10 of a cent, one penny, somewhere around there. That's a huge, huge loss for a lot of people that are holding XRP. I'm not trying to scare any of you. I just want you to be aware that that is a very real possibility, and you need to do your own research and find out how much you can lose if that were to happen. Because when that happens, it's going to make news and splashes all over the crypto space. And there's not going to be any fucking way we're going to be able to turn that back around. This is why I think XRP is now dead for the current time being. And I also feel it's too much of a risk to be holding XRP right now on the eve of them deciding whether this is going to be called a security or not. It's just too much risk, and it's not worth holding and losing your whole bags for. Let's get on to the end of the show.
Held back.
just want to say that crypto is back. It feels back. There's a lot of people out there saying that Bitcoin has reached its bottom. I think let's just wait and see. We know July has spotty reds. We know August is around the corner, and August is when you're going to see a nice size rise. And with that, I want to tell you one thing. If you remember one thing this week, it is buy Bitcoin and save the world, because it's not going to be this low for very much longer. See you next week.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Bar Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.